It was easy to imagine Morelli at home in his apartment, tossing his keys onto the kitchen counter, kicking off his shoes, reading his mail. A wave of remorse washed over me when I realized Morelli would most likely never again be free to enjoy any of those simple rituals. He'd killed a man, and in the process had effectively ended his own life as well. It was such a hideous waste. How could he have been so stupid? How could he have gotten himself into this god-awful mess? How do these things happen to people? "Nothing here," Ranger said. He punched the playback button on Morelli's answering machine. "Hi, hot stuff," a female voice cooed. "This is Carlene. Give me a call back." Beep. "Joseph Anthony Morelli, it's your mother. Are you there? Hello? Hello?" Beep. Ranger turned the machine over and copied the security code and special message code. "You take these numbers, and you could access his messages from an outside phone. Maybe something will turn up." We moved on to the bedroom, going through his drawers, leafing through books and magazines, studying the few photographs on his dresser. The photographs were family, nothing useful, no pictures of Carmen. For the most part, his drawers had been emptied. He'd taken all his socks and underwear. Too bad. I'd been sort of looking forward to seeing his underwear. We ended up back in the kitchen. "This place is clean," Ranger said. "And you're not going to find anything to help you here. And I doubt he'll return. Looks to me like he took everything he needed." He lifted a set of keys from a small hook on the kitchen wall and dropped them into my hand. "Hang on to these. No sense bothering the super if you want to get in again." We locked Morelli's apartment and slid the super's master key through a slot in his door. Ranger eased his body into the Mercedes, put on a pair of mirrored shades, powered back his sunroof, punched up a tape with a heavy bass, and rolled out of the parking lot like Batman. I gave a resigned sigh and looked at my Nova. It was dripping oil onto the pavement. Two parking slots away, Morelli's new red and gold Jeep Cherokee sat gleaming in the sunshine. I could feel the weight of his keys dangling from my finger. A house key and two car keys. I decided it wouldn't do any harm to take a closer look, so I opened the door to the Cherokee and peered inside. The car still smelled new. The instrument panel was dust-free. The rugs were freshly vacuumed and unstained. The red upholstery was smooth and perfect. The car had 5 on the floor, 4-wheel drive, and enough horses to make a man proud. It was equipped with air conditioning, an Alpine radio and tape deck, a 2-way police radio, a cellular phone, and a CB scanner. It was a terrific car. And it belonged to Morelli. It didn't seem fair that a scofflaw like him should have such a great car and I should have such a piece of shit.